Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
I said we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now!
For God's sake!
I swear that I will go over there.
Punch you!
So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. There's a lot happening, as per usual, but it seems like this particular episode there's a little more than usual, and that is earlier today. I think we all kind of woke up with this story about a shooting during a practice on a ball field, and it was one of those weird moments on social media in which. People were waking up and just starting to tweet without realizing what was happening, what had just occurred. Mm-hmm. And I think some people were still seeing this fire in London overnight, which was just horrific, and seeing that story. But it was like half of Twitter didn't know about all of these horrible things that had happened overnight and early this morning. And so people were waking up and tweeting like cat videos and like weird, like fart jokes and things. And people started fighting a lot,
yeah,
because people were going like, how insensitive. Meanwhile, there was a promoted tweet. Someone paid to have a hashtag promoted, like Happy Death Day or something like that. It was for an event, like for a film or something. I don't know what it was for. Everybody jumped on that going like, hey, can you maybe wake someone up at Twitter sales and pull that down? Because it's kind of not a good day for that with everything happening right now.
Right.
So it was just, I feel like everybody just sort of started, at least in this country, in this time zone, everybody sort of started at a sprint this morning with a lot going on.
Yes. And it's been heated and kind of awful in some ways. We're in such a bad place right now, generally speaking. And Twitter, a lot of times, something like this shooting at the congressional baseball practice. You tweet virtually anything, and it's like whacking a hornet's nest with a stick because
yeah.
You know, people are going to get aggrieved and upset one way or the other. And I just feel like that's what happened, and that's what have been one of my concerns in the past, I don't know how long, months certainly, is that how we react to tragedies. You know, I felt like we used to come together more, and now I feel like everybody gets in their little camps and goes crazy. And this was, you know, these were Republicans that were on the baseball field, and allegedly, although this isn't confirmed yet by the police, and so that again with Twitter is just nonstop, you know, kind of
yeah.
Just somebody said this, so it's fact. This may well be fact. I don't know. It's certainly based on the profile of the shooter. It's likely, but I guess, you know, the guy asked if these were Democrats or Republicans. So it sounds like there was an intentional desire to mm-hmm. shoot at Republicans. Unofficially.
And people are speculating about this guy and what he had put on social media, who
yeah.
he liked, who he backed, all of that. It's this obsession with wanting to flatten a group of people that if you've all voted for this one person, then you almost believe X. If you all look this way, you almost struggle with this. If you are all this gender, then clearly this is what you care about. That's just a non-starter. It doesn't work. It never works. And you know, then there was the way Trump responded to it, like his tweet, which, and then everybody piled on him saying, well, you're not calling this person a terrorist, and if he was brown, you would have, and you know, everybody got pissed off about that. It got so particular that even I saw people going, well, are we paying them? That's where my tax dollars are going. Are we paying them to play softball first thing in the morning? I was like, this has been happening since 1909. This is like a long-standing tradition. Every workplace in the world has something like that.
Sure.
Everybody does. And everyone, as well they should.
Yeah.
It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's totally fine. The other one I saw someone jumping up about was that someone out on the field, once the immediate threat was over, like I think once the shooter had been shot or subdued or whatever, somebody took off a belt and used it as a tourniquet on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people jumped all over that. They're like, what kind of idiot wears a belt to like, don't you wear elastic waistband things?
For God's sake.
And I was
seriously.
Like, can we focus, please, on this one, on what occurred?
Yeah, it's just awful. I mean, and the reaction just, I mean, across the board was, I mean, I saw people on the far left, you know, basically like, well, these guys support, you know, are pro-gun, anti-gun control laws, so they got what they deserved, or maybe now they'll think twice about it. And I'm like, you know, no, like the.
Well, indeed, they might.
Right.
However, that doesn't really, mean you deserve to get shot.
Yeah, right. I mean, there were people celebrating it, effectively.
Oh, yeah.
And that's disgusting. And then there were people on the, and still, there are people on the right pinning everything on, on, like, you know, liberals and the media. They're saying, like, the media has created this you know, spirit of, like, violence. And, I mean, come on. Look,
all we're doing is saying, look, this occurred.
And you spent the last, this is the problem, is that nobody has a leg to stand on at this point. The right spent the past 8 years demonizing Obama and making him sound like a true danger and threat. Routinely, people say that, like, liberalism is a mental disease, or liberals are out to destroy this country, and they speak in very harsh and violent terms. During the Bush years, there were people on the left who were absolutely over the top. And so, and you can quibble with degrees and matters of degree and who's for gun control and who's against gun control. Fine, I get that. But at the end of the day, Jesus, I mean, everybody just shut up and stop acting.
Yeah,
like
let's
this.
Deal with that tomorrow. Today, let's deal with, like, some human beings got shot.
Right, and there has to be a moment of reckoning here at some point. We have to come back to a more sane middle, or we may as well be two different. I mean, really, we may as well cleave in half, because if this is how we're going to react to everything, forget it. I mean, good God. I mean, like, I don't know. It really frustrated me today, both sides. And I don't give a shit if anybody wants to cut and be like, it's a false equivalence. The left, fuck you. I mean, like, you know what?
We got an F-bomb out of Hupke.
Yeah, because I
he
mean,
means
this is
it.
This is ridiculous. Yeah. You know, I mean, and people just can't behave this way. I mean, you have to start treating human beings like human beings, and you have to stop with the
even douchey ones.
Right,
that's the thing.
Right, stop.
Like, even a really, like, douchey human being does not deserve to be shot.
No, not at all, ever. And you know, I mean, and more importantly here, look at the dude who did the shooting. Okay, everybody's all right. He's a progressive. He's a Bernie supporter. He's super anti-Trump. Blah blah blah. Fine, that's all true. Whatever. But at the same time, he was able to purchase a high-powered rifle, which the police had been called to his house one time because he was firing that high-powered rifle into trees. He had a past, I think from 2006, domestic abuse and unlawful discharge of a firearm charges against him.
What are you shooting in the tree?
It's in a rural area, so it was target practice, I guess. And the neighbor called because the neighbor's out with his kids.
Sure.
And it's like, what the hell is this guy doing? Because he was firing, like, a serious, this wasn't just like a little pop gun. I mean, he was firing a rifle. So, again, angry, white dude, history of domestic abuse, easy access to weapons. That's a pattern. And it doesn't have anything to do with politics. This guy could have been right wing. He happened to be left wing.
It has nothing
to do with politics. Okay. Crazy is crazy. I mean, you know, you can be a crazy left winger, a crazy right winger, a crazy libertarian, a crazy centrist. I mean, crazy is crazy. And letting crazy people have access to these kind of weapons is absolutely nuts. And the fact that we don't acknowledge that yet is just preposterous.
And I just, again, want to point out, like, for as much as the, you know, narrative here is always, like, women are hysterical and so emotional, I do not, you know, that we're not the ones doing these kinds of things.
No.
I just want to, like, add that as a footnote for a minute that I don't see women doing a lot of that shooting.
Not at all. No,
I think even some fairly, I would even pull this into Democrats' conversations. I think even some kind of left of center Democrats are even kind of conflating the terms liberal and left, and those are very different things. And even those conversations are getting kind of circular. And then, like, people who do make that distinction between those two things, which I do, I was seeing people, like, jump in on people who were trying to make a point, but because they had, like, used left and liberal interchangeably, that became the fight. And it was like people were going, but I have, okay, I'll figure that out later, but I'm trying to make this point. And I kept seeing that happen today, and I haven't tweeted. I mean, I woke up and saw the, I went to bed really late, and because I was working on some stuff, and like in the middle of the night, I woke up and I tweeted the story about London. And then I really haven't tweeted anything else all day because I don't want to go there. Yeah. I don't want to talk about it. No matter what I say, people are going to just, you know, shit on it. So I don't, I can't stomach it today. I don't want to go there. I just want to think about it. I just want to read it. Doesn't mean I'm not on Twitter. I'm actually reading a lot of shit today. I just don't, I don't want to fight with you, whoever you are. I don't want to fight with you today.
Yeah, it's a good day to stay off Twitter, absolutely, because everybody is just zipped into their ideological corners and yelling and waving fists and all that sort of thing. And yeah, and it's, but I will say that, you know, there was a great thread from a NPR reporter that I retweeted earlier today. I'll see if I can find the exact thing. But the basic point was saying that, you know, beware a little bit of Twitter because it is what it's representing. Okay, here I found it. Let me just read it real quick. It won't take long. It's extremely important to remember on days like these that Twitter is not the real world at all. It just isn't. Often the loudest voices in this space are the most hyperbolic, most partisan, most inclined to want to piss somebody off. That's not most people. And often these very voices are simply aggregating and re-spewing unverified nonsense they've heard from other loud Twitter people. To see these kind of conversations as evidence that, quote, America is nastier than ever would be like accepting horror films as truth. Thinking Twitter is the real world would be like watching the Fast and Furious franchise to get a real understanding of car culture. Twitter is an exaggeration of everything, of hatred, love, politics, the speed at which news moves, of partisan divisions, of everything. Feel free to incorporate into your lives as much as you want, but understand that it is ultimately stagecraft, especially on days like this. And I thought that was an interesting point. And I think that's right, because I can be on Twitter and in this cloud of just awfulness, and then you go out and walk around and talk to people, and people aren't that bad. So,
well, but though, although I would say sometimes that gets to me too, when something big is happening and people are talking about it on Twitter, and then you go out, you know, to the rest of the world, and it's, you just want to grab people by the shoulders and say, don't you give a shit about this horrible thing that's happening. Like, sometimes I get there too.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Yeah, but I mean, just like, I don't mean like in the moment necessarily. I guess I mean in our day to day experiences.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
It's certainly less.
And like, my thing is, for as much as people are sitting on social media and talking about the media, meaning as if all of us are one collective thing, yeah, which infuriates me.
It's just me they're talking about.
It's actually, just you. I'm going to start saying that. I'm like, just, when you say media, it's just Rex Hupke, so we're clear. He are the media.
Yes.
Right. And I've said it so many times, I feel like I'm just like beating my head against the wall, but that is a hill I will gladly die on, because the contempt I have when I hear people say, like, qualify, say something like, are you talking about the White House press corps? Are you talking about a specific columnist? Are you talking about think pieces? Are you like, name it. There's no one media. I cannot say that enough. There is no one media. And frankly, when people are running around saying the media said this, the media said this, people will then listen to us on the radio or read the things we have written, and no matter what we say, they will believe. What's that weird beeping?
Uh-oh. They're coming to get us. Oh, there it goes.
Okay. It's a thunderstorm. The National Weather Service says,
really?
We're fucked, is what they say.
Why not? Perfect day for it. Everything else sucks.
A minute ago, I was looking over my shoulder, and there was like a weird cloud that was sort of shaped like a giant... I mean, if this were a sci-fi doomsday kind of film, I would be like, there's a spaceship out there coming to get us.
Nice.
It was like that, but it's cool. Dissipated. Now it's apparently right over us.
A Vogon spaceship.
Anyway, but where I'm going with that is two points. Number one, when people are running around saying the media as a whole, they're only deepening confirmation bias to those of us who are not doing the things that they're talking about. Further, I am motherfucking sick to death of people saying the media and not accepting the role of social media and just some jackass with a Twitter account pontificating, mm-hmm, who does not know why it matters to say, alleged and why it matters to say, comma, police say, yeah, or according to testimony. Like, unless you are there and witness it yourself, you must say that shit. And if you don't understand that, then maybe spare us the vigilante gotcha, you know, citizen journalist shit for a minute, please.
Yeah.
And recognize that some of us, like, perhaps know a little bit more about what we're doing when we're talking about information. So as you were saying, the way people get on social media and just pontificate and it spins and it stirs up and all this shit is flying that leads to comments that, like the one you just read, which I love very much. I'm so tired of even smart people, like, not including themselves in the furthering of a narrative. I'm radio air quotes here, a narrative by the media.
I can confirm those air quotes.
Thank you. He's witnessing, yes, my radio air quotes. But you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, totally.
Recognize that social media plays a role in that too.
Yeah, no, it does. I find,
and I don't mean journalists with Twitter accounts. I mean average citizens, right, who, yeah, might be smart enough to, like, get 140 characters out in the world.
Yeah, I mean the idea of the way social media has kind of democratized things
is great. In theory, it's great that media has been democratized, and that, like, I mean, where I thought it was beautiful was in Ferguson, when none of us were allowed anywhere near the fucking place, and average citizens whipped out their phone and said, like, here's what the fuck is going down. That was great.
Yeah, but that's pretty limited examples. I think the problem right now is that everybody has a microphone,
right,
and everybody thinks that they have a voice that is worthy of being heard. And I don't agree with that, and I know it sounds snotty, and I don't care. I mean, people who have a voice have worked and proven themselves to get to the point where they have that voice.
I don't think you necessarily have to be a journalist to have something valuable and important to say.
No, I agree, but I don't think that the sense that everything you say is important and that you should be able to, you know, what am I trying to say? I'm not saying that people's opinions don't matter, but having a platform requires a certain amount of work and professionalism and that sort of thing, or at least it used to. I don't know that it does anymore. You have too many idiots with platforms right,
yeah,
now. And that's what I mean. And I'm talking about, and again, left wing, right wing, everybody. I mean, but there are some people, like some of these, like Louise Mensch, one of these crazy far left blogger people, and I mean, who's just gone off the rails on Russia stuff and thinks they know everything. They're just reporting on nonsense and then they accidentally are right about some things, and then they say, like, oh my God, I was right about this 3 months ago before the New York Times. It's like, come on. I mean, I think, and people obviously on the far right, you have, you know, completely nutter folks who, you know, are spewing all kinds of outright garbage, and they have a ton of followers, and I don't. I mean, I guess the market works that out because there's an audience for it, and they prove that. But, you know, I just think that there was a time when, you know, people, journalists worked, got better, you know, and eventually had, you know, voices that could be heard, and or commentators or whatever, not just journalists. I mean, but, you know, other people as well, authors and you name it. And now everybody seems to feel entitled to having that, and I don't think everybody comes even close to proving that they should be listened to and heard. But here we are. I mean, I know that sounds, I'm probably doing a horrible job of phrase. I don't mean this for that to sound as obnoxious as it does, but it.
I know where you're going. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I mean, where I think it is useful that social media has democratized media is that. And I'm saying media as a platform, not as a group of individuals, is that, how do I even say, right, it's complicated.
It's like
when things like Ferguson happen, and or think about the role of the bystander and how that's changed due to everybody having a camera, mm-hmm, in their pockets.
Yeah.
Like in, I feel like in every life, there's going to be a moment in which you can turn away, you can speak up, you can record it, you can do something, and for perhaps a minute you have a lot of national eyes,
mm-hmm,
for better or worse, right? And I feel like in moments when you're capturing a moment, you're creating somehow, I want to say creating justice, not necessarily, but like showing people an injustice,
mm-hmm,
revealing an injustice, then I think it does matter that it's democratized, because we can't be everywhere at once.
Yeah, sure. No, I totally agree with that. I think maybe if I had to distill it down, I would say, and I think
with right comes responsibility.
Right, and I think we've talked about that before. I said if I write a column and I make a bunch of crap up and I it's filled with lies and innuendo, I either am in trouble and we have to run a correction, or possibly I'm fired.
Yeah.
And so I have there's accountability. Some blowhard somewhere with a blog and a Twitter account has no accountability. But the problem is that people are just as apt to listen to that blowhard as they are to listen to me.
Right.
And that's where there's a fundamental problem, and that's what I resent, because, you know, I work under the terms of accountability.
Yeah.
And, you know, so
in fact, I think sometimes people might be more apt to listen to that person. Because
I'm the media.
Because you're the media, and also because I think that there's like, I mean, we see this all the time. We're in a place of greatly polarized thinking. Mm-hmm. And so we saw this during the final stretch of the presidential campaign. If you and I said anything even like slightly critical, even like, hey, not cool, Hillary Clinton, the littlest thing, suddenly it was assumed we were Trump supporters, and vice versa. And so I think in that way, when someone has been absolved of the responsibility and can just kind of pontificate as they want, without any regard for facts and anything like that, well, then, you know, then of course people are going to like identify with them and feel, you know, squishy about them and lovey and whatever.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's a mess. It really is.
Christ. Let's move to Comey for a minute.
Who?
Who? I know. Ancient history already. So much has transpired since that.
That guy.
What a fascinating bit of television viewing.
Yeah, that was.
I was happy to see how quickly Nielsen turned over their numbers. It was something like 13 million viewers in a particular age bracket. But I was happy to see that there were a lot of really young viewers. There was like, you know, 1.8 million, I think, really young viewers. So that was heartening. I was happy to see that. I mean, it was interesting. It was very frustrating in some moments.
Yeah.
Particularly in the moments about him being asked around the word hope.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really? Because you and I were both prosecutors at one point. So can you imagine any kind, or are you aware of any case of someone, say, robbing someone and says, I hope you give me your wallet? No, of course not, because that's not what they said. And it's like, don't be an asshole.
Right. Yeah.
Don't be that guy.
Yeah.
That's so like anal about that. Like, you know what? But it's different if you're robbing someone at gunpoint versus the president of the United States, and you kick everybody out of a room and you say, hey, let's chat about this. Oh, good. The beeping is back. More thunderstorms. That's cool. That's fine. So if we make it to the end of the show without this weather apocalypse upon us, it's all good.
This will all be rendered moot shortly. God has had it with us.
We should start. I would not blame her if she did. That's for sure. I would not blame her at all. Anyway, so I thought like that was just kind of frustrating. In that moment, I was sitting in my house watching it. I could hear others in my building shouting at their televisions as well. I heard like a collective, oh my God, like when certain things happen.
Yeah, I mean, they're carrying Trump's water here, like, and I'm still kind of mystified as to exactly why. I mean, the amount of, remember, it's like month five.
Yeah.
The amount of crap that they're having to shovel already is just immense. And the polling, I mean, his disapproval numbers are up to 60%. His approval is at like 36. Comey is trusted far more than Trump in polling data shows. And I mean, and you're just like, you know, how long do you keep, what is the expression, throwing good money after bad, kind of like, I mean, how long do you keep investing in something that is clearly coming apart here and is not going to. I don't know. I don't understand it, because you're right. All that questioning was an attempt to try to create cover for the president. And
yes, but it was done in such a way that was like, it was such a childish way. It was like, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. It was like that.
Oh, yeah. No, they're all. I mean, it's horrible. And I mean, Yeah. And it was no better with Sessions either this week.
No. I found Sessions much more frustrating.
Yeah. Well, because he's
don't recall.
Yeah.
Really?
Right. And he couldn't even cite the Department of Justice rules that would keep him from testifying about something. And it was just bizarre. I mean, it was absolutely... So, the amount of stonewalling going on, the amount of, like, sort of these Republican lawmakers, like you said, asking Comey these questions where you're like, come on, we're all adults here, I think.
Right.
I enjoyed
the Beckett reference happening.
I don't think
that. The meddlesome priest comment
when he was
talking to Senator Angus King.
Yeah.
Which immediately, all these think pieces popped up about what that could be, what that is, and I was like, dudes... Thomas Becket was made the Archbishop of Canterbury, and he was whacked after allegedly King Henry II said aloud, "Won't someone rid me of this meddlesome priest?" He didn't say kill him, but won't someone? Yeah. And that became like a theoretically defensible position to be in later, like, oh, I was just talking.
Right.
I hope this goes away. Like, it was that. So I appreciate it. Like, I was like, that's good on you, Comey, for bringing that up. That's good on you, bro. I wasn't as convinced that Senator Angus King knew that. He was like, yeah, I was just thinking that reference, too. No, you were not.
Yeah, right.
No, you weren't.
All the others are like, hmm?
Who?
Like, what is this?
Who's a priest? What? Hmm? Yeah, that part was, I thought, pretty fascinating. I think everybody in this scenario is a very flawed character here, but you know, you kind of felt for Comey, I think, on some level, sitting there, like, even when he was like, well, you know what, I do recall there was this other I felt like erring on the side of oversharing in a couple of moments. Like, you know, as I'm sitting here, I recall one other occasion in this, and he was being specific. I mean, it felt like he was being very cooperative with the whole thing. I'm sure that was like a nice little love note, the shout out he gave to his wife during that. Like, trust me, I would have much rather spent that time with her. Right.
I think, I was angry with the, you know, what he did with Clinton at the time as well, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't like
it. It was just like, no matter who it was just kind of douchey timing.
Yeah. More than anything, though, I was still, frankly, mad at Clinton for having done the whole email thing in the first place.
Sure.
It's like, come on. I mean, that was the biggest self-inflicted wound of all time. But regardless, you know, my sense of him is that, some people are trying to paint him as like some grand operator or something, but he seems to me like,
He came off very earnestly.
Yeah, and that's certainly the sense that I get. And boy, is he smart, because the way, I mean, what I think is so funny is, like, is Trump picking a fight with this dude? It's like, this dude is 300 million times smarter than you are, understands the law, and is just paving a path for you to follow that is going to wind up in a very bad place, and you're just going right along with it. I mean, it's striking to me how, like, sort of surgical he has been in handling things. So, Comey, I mean, and so.
Well, it was interesting in moments where you could see the years of FBI training kick in when he was talking about, when he was sitting there saying, like, I thought to myself, you must remember every word. I've been in that situation. Mm-hmm. I've been in a situation where there's no way in hell I can whip out a piece of paper right now and write this down, but I need to remember exactly what is being said to me.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. I've been in that situation.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting how immediately a lot of women on social media were like, oh, how interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Sucks, doesn't it? When you get questioned about why you're alone with someone. Oh, really? Like, I felt that. I mean, right away I was like, get real with this line of questioning.
Yeah. No, there was a tremendous, I saw that too. And I thought that was very interesting. And I think that's, I think that's part of why, I think what happened in this situation was very relatable to a lot of people, not just women. I mean, you know, not so much the being alone thing, but I think the power dynamic.
Absolutely.
There is something that a lot of people can relate to just from workplace experiences and stuff like that. So, it was interesting, but watching Trump come out of that and say, like, he was totally and completely vindicated, I was like, whoa.
Well, hold up.
What kind of, I mean, alternate universe? Like, yeah. I mean, it was just baffling.
I also enjoyed the moment in which he was describing. I'm going to get the term he used wrong, but he
Cole
was
Fifi?
No, not that. No, Comey, when he was saying, you know, I went to the president and said, "This, we have this intelligence information. It is going to be released. I want to give you a heads up on it." Twitter exploded. Everyone's like, P-tapes, P-tapes.
Yeah, right.
Everybody like went nuts with that. And I was like, yeah, there's that.
When will that part come? There's something, I mean, look, there, I don't know what's out there, but there's something. I mean, just anybody, if even the hardest hardcore Trump supporter, if they could just be honest with themselves for a minute, whether it, maybe it's not all as bad as it's cracked up to be, but there's something just fishy here. You know what I mean? Somebody's got something on somebody, and it's significant enough that it's creating a lot of really weird crap. And I don't know if it's as, if the weird crap is as bad as we actually think. I don't know if there was collusion with it. I don't know what's going on exactly. But the, you know, come on. There's something.
But something is a little rotten in Denmark here. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that much, I think, I wish, you know, if we could sort of not live in alternate universes, but I wish we could all sort of agree on it. It's back to the gun. It's back to the gun control thing. It's like, could we not just all agree that crazy people shouldn't have guns? You know, fight. I mean, here it's like, could we all just not agree that there's something fishy and we should probably get to the bottom of it? Not to mention, what is so often overlooked here, because this is also tied up with Trump himself and like the legitimacy of his presidency, is the fact that there is absolutely no question at this point that Russia interfered with our election. Whether that affected any outcome, whatever, is irrelevant. They did it. They absolutely did it. It was an aggressive, hostile move. And nobody seems to, in the current administration, seems to give three shits about it,
yeah,
including the damn attorney general who, when asked if he had been briefed on this, said no. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? This is a this is a massive issue.
Yeah.
This is of extreme importance to not just this election, to future elections, to the country, to the world in a lot of ways. And no, I was like, give me a break, you little Keebler elf. Like, this is ridiculous.
Keebler elf. I couldn't wait to know what was about to come out of your mouth, and Keebler elf was what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But strangely, or perhaps not, maybe I've just reached, like, I don't know, I've given up on it or something. But also this week, to me, I felt like, okay, this is definitely not going away.
Which part?
The whole corrupt administration.
Oh,
I've really
right.
felt like this is going to get, like, it's not going to be one big thing that will bring him down, but there's no way someone this incompetent can manage all 4 years. And like, something this week made me go, no, this is happening, and he's not going away anytime soon.
Yeah, I think the only possibility is the midterms. If the Democrats can, and I'm quite confident the Democrats will find some way to screw that up. So,
I am too.
Yeah. So yeah, I know I don't. Yeah, all the talk of impeachment, I think is nonsense at this point.
I'm a little tired of all talk politics personally.
Yeah.
Or all talk activism anyway, because I'm still hearing a lot of people kind of harping on, we just need to foster dialogue, and I cannot with that, because I feel like one major issue is that so many Dems were all about trying to foster this mythical dialogue with people who don't give a shit and don't want to have any kind of dialogue, do not want to talk about it, just want to make noise and just want to have some restored order of white supremacy. And I mean, I even saw that today with like, no, see, we need to have good dialogue about guns. No, we need some change. We need actual laws to change. We don't need dialogue, because we don't need to, dialogue implies we all need to feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck that. I at this point, I don't care if everybody feels good about it. We just need to people to be safe. And I think part of the issue is like, I said this on a previous show. I don't think when shootings happen, I don't feel like the conversation goes deep enough.
No, oh, God, no.
It's always, we like fuck it up because we say, well, this person had some kind of mental illness, but like if you made that physical illness could be like hay fever to the plague.
Mm-hmm.
Like it could be a lot of things.
Sure.
mental illness could just be like, I'm having a rough time, mm-hmm. to major things that require heavy duty medication. Mm-hmm. Like, that could be a lot of things. So I'm like, well, yes, that can be a factor, but I don't think we should leave it there. And then when politics comes in, we get completely stuck in that and never get the down the next layer. We just go, oh, this person was a Bernie supporter and he shot someone who's a Republican. Problem solved. Like, we never dig. It's like we're never willing to dig into that, the uncomfortable shit and the systemic stuff that makes people feel like I don't have a choice right now but to pull a trigger of a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to solve that. Some smart person way smarter than me needs to go figure that out, because I don't know how to do it.
Yeah, for more on that, look at Chicago's violence problem. I mean, this has been going on forever. I've been writing about this for over a decade.
Right.
And nobody will take, you know, they introduce all these various solutions, more cops, you know, violence intervention, blah, blah, blah. And nobody ever looks at the fact that, oh, you know what, maybe it has something to do with poverty, you know, a wide array of things.
Systemic
poverty, lack
oppression.
Of education, you know, lack of opportunities, you know, just general infrastructure. I mean, there's a million, you know.
I think there's a lot of shit, including when people in City Hall talk about the South and West Sides like it's a swath of land and not mm-hmm. a place where there are human beings.
Right.
I think there's that, too.
Yeah.
When mental health access facilities, like of the 6 or 7 that were just closed, 4 of them were in high crime areas.
Sure.
So like so as long as we're not going to give a shit about like the trauma of just living in an environment that is highly violent,
mm-hmm.
like it there's this message that like you human being who lives in this area, it's like a message that person doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It is. And even on the, I mean, even just saying we need tougher gun control. Is also in and of itself insufficient.
Totally.
You know what I mean? It's not like you get that and things are going to suddenly be better. And so we're always, you're right, we never look at it in any depth. We always are just looking for surface solutions and singular solutions. And there are none. I mean, that is stupid to think that there is a way to, you know, one thing we can do. I'm all for stricter gun. I mean, I think we need better, of course. I'm also all for better mental health care. And I'm also
And access to it.
Right.
Not just care, but you got to be able to afford the shit. And you have to be able to not have a stigma attached to it if you go.
Right. And better education and better opportunity. You know, I mean, all of these things tie in together. And you get laughed out of the room sometimes when you talk about this by some people who think there's just one thing that we have to do and that's what we got to focus on. I'm like, no. And until we focus on it comprehensively, you're going to get nowhere, I think.
So what is that? Do you think that's human nature to just want things to be simple?
Yeah.
Is that laziness?
Laziness, yeah. Yeah, that's what it is.
Intellectual laziness.
Mm-hmm. And actual laziness too. I mean, people aren't willing to get off their ass and do something or actually talk about it or get out. I mean, I have said for years that if you gave me all, like, the 10 richest people in Chicago and let me take them with some people that I know who know their way around the parts of the South and West Side where there's a lot of violence, and you walk around with them for a few days and you meet people and you hang out in their homes and you talk to them, the problem in the city would start to get fixed very quickly, because they would suddenly understand and be like, oh my God, I can't believe we allow this in this country. I mean, you know, I've been in homes, I can't believe people are living under these kind of conditions in, you know, the United States, in the richest country in the world. And I've been in classrooms where you ask kids if they've know anybody who's been shot, and they all raise their hand.
Yeah.
And people don't go out and see that, you know? And that's that's laziness. I mean, that's an unwillingness to really engage in these problems.
Laziness, I think, and class privilege, too. I think it's very easy for people to not give a shit about problems that don't concern them.
Right, yeah.
Which is why I was very heartened to see a whole lot of different kinds of people at the airport the weekend of the travel ban.
Yeah.
I saw young, old, all different colors of people, all genders of people, and I was interviewing people and getting audio, and there was this young man, I think he said he was 17 or so, and he got choked up while we were talking. He said, I'm so happy that it's not just my fellow Muslims that are here, that all kind of people are here. He goes, dude, there's a white dude over there. He's a priest. And he's like, everybody realizes this is a problem.
Right.
And I was like, that we sort of got it right that time, right?
Yeah.
But I think in the example you're giving, I think a lot of that has to do with class privilege. I think there's systemic racism attached to that. I think there's a lot of shit. And until people are willing to have uncomfortable conversations and admit that perhaps there's been personal benefit to being a certain race or a certain family or having a certain income or whatever, even if it's like credibility you don't want, the world bestows some credibility on people for being white or male or affluent or whatever, whether you want that to be the case or not. Sometimes you get that credibility. And I think until people are willing to admit that and be willing to think about what it would take to make things more equality driven, I don't think people are going to give a shit enough to fix it. And if you're what do you say, the 10 richest people in the city, if you're a member of one of those families, what incentive do you have to want to change and to want to see anything of how anyone else lives when your life's probably fine?
Yeah, right.
Other than like just not being a dick.
Yeah.
Which, right. Not being a dick, I don't think incentivizes many people anymore.
No, not so much.
But I try all the time to not be a dick.
And you succeed mostly of the time.
I got real pissed at my neighbor this week, Hupke, because I have knocked on his door to tell him to, like, please, legit, will you maybe not play Pitbull at 2 in the morning?
Whoop, whoop.
Right. And he won't answer the door because it's too loud or he doesn't care or whatever. So I did a thing that I feel kind of bad about, but I stomped on the floor because I was like, well, he won't answer the door. I'm just going to stomp. And he screamed, fuck you, through the floorboard. And I screamed back. And I'm like, well, I just made like some bad feelings in my building now. And I feel, but there's no way out now.
Yeah, well.
Because if I go down there now, I'm like, look, we've screwed this up, but let's understand each other's schedule. He'll be like, bitch, get out of my face. We're done here. Because after the screaming, he then turned, he plugged in his electric guitar and started playing very loudly.
Oh, nice. That sucks.
See, I feel bad. I was a dick.
Well, but at the same time, I mean, he hadn't been, I mean, there's a point. That's
at the same time, he screams every single weekend and has like it's like a frat party down there every weekend.
Yeah, and that's probably, I mean.
And I live there too.
Yeah, right. And that's the thing. I mean, there's a difference between being a dick and standing up, you know, to something or for something.
Admittedly, I'm quieter than most neighbors. I'm usually like sitting there quietly reading. I admit that.
Quiet as a church mouse.
That's me. Quiet as a little church mouse. Once in a while, I will sing along to some shit. I also respect his right to be a loud neighbor. But anyway, we screwed it up. I screwed it up. He screwed it up. I'm a dick. He's a dick. Everybody's a dick.
This is like a microcosm of our country right now. That you've let us know how you work that out, and perhaps you can chart a course for the rest of us. Our country is divided into the Guths and the Pitbull playing.
Whatever that guy's name is. Yeah,
yeah. People.
The Pitbull listeners and the quiet nerds reading and sitting with her plants on a Saturday night like a champ. That's what.
Hey.
Good times. All right. Well, it's time to wrap this guy up. So let us wrap this up. We could go on and on for days because there are just so many things. But we thank you for listening. Feel free to subscribe at iTunes and follow us both on Twitter. I'm at Amy Guth. He's at Rex Hupke. Also, oh, wait, before we go, I forgot to tell you, somebody tweeted at me the other day and asked how we pronounce our names. And I was like, dude, listen, we say it constantly. He goes, great show. How do you pronounce your last name? So I was like,
it's at the very beginning.
It's literally the first thing I say. It's always the first sentence.
It's Gorth and Horpke. Jeez, come on.
And then I was right. Then I started thinking about it. Like, how would you? Mine's easy because people go Guth.
Guth,
not Guth. But I don't know how else to pronounce yours.
Mine, I get a lot of Hoopke, a lot of Hoopke.
I love hoop.
In high school, they called me Hubcap and Cupcake and you name it. Rex Hoop. Rex,
I like
Rex Hupke. Hoopka. Like, yeah, right. There's like some real like.
Well, I started to tweet back to the guy and be like, well, it's Guth like truth and
Hupke-like.
Bupke. And then I kind of dropped that one. So anyway, Guth and Hupke signing off.